NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Well, we're in hour two. I have no idea why our shows go so... Oh, I do have an idea why they go so fast, because we're always having fun on Up On Game. I'm LeVar Arrington. That's Plaxico Burress and TJ Houshmandzadeh. And we're broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. And you could save an average of $470 on auto insurance. That's a lot of money, Pete, for a quick phone call, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. Average nationwide annual savings survey data July to December 2020. Jingle!
We are farmers.
Yeah! All right. Let's talk about Les Miles. TJ, you seem to be very, very in tune. Matter of fact, Gavin, I want you to introduce this topic because you were very, very passionate about it. Let the fans, the listeners out there know, speaking of, so proud of you guys as our listeners. Happy to have you on board. We really appreciate it. Make sure you tell your friends about the show. The show has been performing amazingly. The growth has been amazing, and we owe that all to you guys. So thank you so much. Introduce this one, Gav.
Yeah, so this story actually dates back to 2013.
Yep.
On Thursday, a report released on behalf of LSU showed that a 2013 internal investigation at the school accused Miles of inappropriate behavior towards female students, including allegations that he contacted some via Facebook and text, met with them off campus alone and kissed at least one of them. Mm. The report did not find that he had sexual relationships with any of the women, and Miles strongly denied kissing the student. Now, right now, he has been placed on leave from Kansas. The question is, will he get terminated there? But again, this is a thing where the investigation happened in 2013. The AD advised them to fire him, move on from him.
And who are they? The AD of LSU advised the AD at Kansas to let Les Miles
go. No, the AD at LSU advised the administration, the president of the school, to fire him.
Okay.
Yeah, and they kept him on. And eventually he left. I think it was in 2016, right, that he moved on.
Okay, so while he was still at LSU is what we're saying. I just want to make sure it's all clear. Did they end up keeping him and then firing him? Or are we saying this story comes out and then now recently they contact Kansas and tell the administration at Kansas to let him go? I just want to make sure we're clear here.
If I could,
they did fire Miles,
I believe.
It was for football reasons.
Right, for football reasons.
But when we're saying they kept him, we're saying LSU kept him.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's what we're saying. Not where he's at Kansas. Right?
No, Kansas just put him on leave because of the allegations that had just recently come out. And so they're...
Are they relatable? Is it related to that? Is that why they're being connected?
Oh, 100%.
This is trying to connect the dots.
Yeah. 100%.
USA Today actually had a story. This came out through this USA Today story in November of 2020. So it's sort of bubbling back up to the surface right now.
What happened is USA Today filed a lawsuit with LSU to get this report surfaced. There was kind of a major cover up here that this investigation even happened. So,
Then now it's happened again at Kansas.
Everything got resurfaced and they're showing, okay, this is what Les Miles was accused of. And there's evidence of, especially the digital, the Facebook stuff. So this was kind of hidden while he was at LSU. He wasn't terminated over it. He was later fired for football reasons, but they did not, LSU did not punish him for this specifically.
Okay. TJ, what you think?
I mean, for me and as you as well, and Plex, when you have daughters, man, and
you have two daughters in college.
Two daughters in college at LSU.
At LSU.
It's just one of these things where, for the life of me, man, we as men, we got to do better. We got to stop preying on women that are trying to do things the right way and advance their careers, and we want to use
power.
The power that we have as men in order to curry favor with them sexually. I just don't, that's not right. And this has gone on for a long time, and not just sports, in every facet of life. And it needs to stop, whether these allegations are true or not. When the AD, and I know Les Miles. Mm-hmm. I know Les Miles personally. We've met. I know his wife. His daughter plays softball. So we've met at the softball field, and we've gotten pretty cool. But this here needs to stop. And it's they're in Hollywood. It's come out. Producers, they want to use their power. I'll give you this role. And so
but
when the AD recommends, the athletic director, who his job is to win football games, mm-hmm. recommends we fire this coach to the president, then where there's smoke, it's a ton of fire.
Plex.
Man, I'm always, you know, overly, you know, sensitive to situations like this. You know, just like TJ just said, you know, LeVar, TJ, myself, like, we have daughters. And, you know, we couldn't imagine, you know, our children, you know, being in a situation, you know, as such, when, you know, a male figure of Les Miles' stature, not even him, you know, just anybody, you know, the inappropriate behavior and the misconducts or whatever it may be, you know, it's just a bad thing, because, you know, people are hurt, you know, not just the women or the young women, but also, you know, people's families and such. So, you know, with that being said, I don't know Les Miles. You know, I've just, you know, been brought to light on this situation in the last couple of days. But I just think it's sad. It's an unfortunate situation when, you know, things like this are being, you know, withheld and people have information about it and not, you know, addressing it, you know, when these things happen. And like TJ said, man, it's continued to happen, you know, over time and time again. And, you know, just doing, you know, the research on this thing, you know, and you know, Hush Blackwell report, you know, Les Miles' name was mentioned in this thing like 51 times. So there has to be some kind of, you know, relevance to this story. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, I hope he gets what he deserves or whatever it may be. I don't know the case if he's guilty or not, but just the fact that people had knowledge of it and not bringing it to light, and, you know, the whole power, you know, case of it, and just holding it back and not letting it be known, and people are being hurt. You know, it's just a sad situation.
You know, I'm going to take it a step further, because I lived through a much, much more heinous and worse situation as it applies to a coach leveraging, you know, their status and stature to do inappropriate things. I went to Penn State. We all know about the Penn State scandal and everything that took place and the fallout over it and everything that happened. And that was with boys. That wasn't with girls. That was with boys. And my whole thing is, protecting the sanctity and the safeness of what places are supposed to represent, an institution of higher learning. You shouldn't have to feel as though you could be preyed upon by staff as a student. These kids that were at doing, you know, the part of the Penn State stuff, they were younger. They were like 14, 15, you know, young kids, teenagers. They weren't even in college. But again, I kind of look at it and I put them in a very similar category, in the sense that if you're using facilities and you're using the reputation of being the coach, you're using the reputation of the university and the program and what that represents.
And you can change that word representation to power, because yes, that's what it is.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. I just find myself being in this, you know, even when I first heard it come out, because Jerry Sandusky was my, you know, was my coach. I spent a lot of time with him. So in this scenario, I'm looking at it as if it were a girl versus it being the boys that he was bringing around. I was around these kids. Like, I knew from one of the legal testimonies, one of the kids mentioned me by name in the testimony. So I knew exactly, because they won't release the names, but I knew exactly who the kid was by the reading the testimony. And you know, it breaks your heart. Like, you know, people still debate, did it happen? Did he really do those things? Did Joe know? All these different things that are debated and discussed. But I think you guys are both correct when saying the amount of damage that is done. There are so many victims that are involved in these types of acts. When you look at, you know, nobody's blaming LSU for being power, you know, power tripping or anything like that on Les Miles, but that did happen at Penn State. You know, we were all, for a long time, almost kind of labeled as we were all these people that were doing these horrible things. Like, you say Penn State, it's like, oh, you're one of them type setups.
It was like that for right? the first couple years.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad. And so when you think about the actions of one person, the selfish act of doing these things that are so like out of the character of what a morally sound person would do, and then you have to fight. Les Miles put that on the shoulders of other people. They have to fight through the guilty accusations. They have to fight through everything that took place. They have to fight through the families having to deal with what mental and emotional impact that had on those young ladies. Everybody has to fight through all of the craziness that is taking place. And I'm like reminded off of this. And for him not to be, for there not to be a swifter, you know, a swifter decision.
It just shows you how much.
How unimportant.
These people say that sports at these universities control everything, that you're willing, that the AD recommends he be fired, and you don't do a thing. It shows you that how much they care about these sports and these coaches.
Well, because you're weighing the bottom line, right? I mean, and I guess that's the point I was getting to, and I guess that's why you went there. It's kind of like, how can you not be decisive? And if like, let's just think about this. If it's just an accusation.
Wrong is wrong.
Right? If it's just an accusation, if it has children to do with it, and it's a law-breaking accusation, if it has young ladies to do with it, students at the school, and there has an accusation, he's got to go.
You got to go.
You've got to go.
If there's an accusation, it's probably more than one.
We can work backwards from letting you go. And I know you got to follow the protocols. I'm not saying break protocols, because there's legalities and things that, you know, the whole due process of it. I understand that. You do have to
get out in front of this.
But you do got
get out in front of it.
After looking at what happened at Penn State, it's like, if you're not, I'd rather have to deal with working backwards than working forward. I'd rather have to say I'm sorry and I'm glad you didn't do it and I'm glad you're innocent and I wish you luck, rather than saying, man, we kept you and we went through this and we waited for that and the due process played out and you were guilty.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So to me, I think it's a hard situation to find yourself in. These are never easy tasks to take on. But I will certainly say this. I am a father of three daughters, and I'm taking personal emotion out of it and just saying, what, like you said, right is right and wrong is wrong. You do want to go through the protocols. You do want to go through the process. But at the same time, I also want to protect the integrity of what I represent as an adult, and what my job would be and what I'm doing for that university, I would have at least put them on leave. Like Kansas did. I think Kansas is doing the right thing, right? Put them on leave. Do what you need to do, but you ain't coming back until we are to the total bottom of what this situation is.
Yeah, Kansas, they're going to end up firing them, I believe. This will be it for Les Miles.
Mm. Yeah, I really believe that. But, you know, this dating back to 2013, I mean, it just goes to show, man, you know, everybody is saving face. You know, nobody wants to put their face on it, and nobody wants to jump out in front of it because they don't want to be associated with it. They'd rather just sweep it under the rug and maybe have somebody deal with it later. But, you know, just like you say, man, you know, everything's going to come to light.
All right. Well, yeah, that's one of them tough conversations, but we put you up on game on it anyway. We're not going to shy away from hard topics. We'll always jump on them.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Ooh, pick up the phone. I'm Dak. Hey, Jerry. Can I come back? Oh, give me a contract, not a tag.
I
need some loot.
Online?
Give me some loot. Come on, Jerry. I need my Holmes money. I need my Holmes money. I need my Holmes money. Why are you messing with me?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry, why are you messing with me? Ooh. Why are you messing with me?
Am I still online?
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. It's up on game. TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you check out the podcast. And listen, every time you hear us singing, I don't know who does it. Any of us doing singing. Just make sure you do something to subscribe and download, and you won't be able to hear that heavy metal music that was taking place. Don't even worry about it, because it's not going to be on the podcast. But give us 4 stars, 5 stars, subscribe, tell a friend. Let's do that. Let's make it work, all right? Okay, let's jump into this, because I really want to discuss the Dak Prescott situation, because we are literally running out of time. And here's the scenario. You're going to pay 36 something. It's
37 million.
37 for the franchise tag. And you offered him 35 guaranteed a year for his contract, a long-term contract. Dak wants something in the 40s that's right behind Pat Mahomes. And we continue to see a standoff take place, and we're heading for what is perceivably the second franchise tag that Dak will have to wear after wearing it for the first year and not wearing it well at all. You get the tag. The one thing we all know, when you get that tag, you cannot get hurt. That is just the rule. You do not break when you're on a franchise tag year. So, fellas, how is this going to play out, and what do you think should happen? Should Dak be thinking to take the contract? Does Dak have the leverage here? Give me what your opinions are on how this situation is panning out, and does it seem correct?
If I'm Dak Prescott, I want to play on a franchise tag again.
Oh.
That's $68 million in 2 years, and then you hit the market. In essence, he'd be paid $200 million over a five-year span, which you can't beat that. You can't beat that if you include the 2 years on a franchise tag. But reverse that. If I'm the Cowboys and I know Dak Prescott wants $40 million a year, that's why I go get Russell Wilson. That's why I go get Russell Wilson and pay him for the next 3 years, $35 million a year. I assume that I'm going to be a better team with Russell Wilson, so I give you my 10th pick of the draft this year, which is a bit high. I give you Ezekiel Elliott, Pete Carroll, because you want to run the ball. I give you my 2022 first-round pick, which I hope is late because we're going to make the playoffs and make a run at it. So in essence, you're giving them the 10th pick, Ezekiel Elliott, and a late first-round pick for Russell Wilson. That's the path that I try to create if I'm the Dallas Cowboys. If you don't want to pay Dak Prescott $40 million, which they do not, because if they did, he would be signed already. The Cowboys have a number in mind. They don't want to go past it. Dak has a number in mind. And he's not going to go under it. Right. And so that's why is this game a chicken. Let's try to eliminate that. Let's see if we can get Russell Wilson at $35 million a year, and let's move forward.
Hmm. Well, none of what you just said is not going to happen. Ezekiel Elliott is not going anywhere. We know that.
You don't think the Cowboys, if they can get rid of Zeke and let Tony Pollard
Ezekiel
be the starter?
Elliott is not going anywhere. He's going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
Hey, Plex,
for a long
you would
time.
Not be
he's,
a good
he's
GM,
one of those
bro.
Franchise cornerstone players that they are going to build
you wouldn't
around.
Trade, you wouldn't trade happen. Ezekiel Elliott if you could get Russell Wilson.
Listen, we're not talking about myself. We're talking about what Jerry Jones is going to do. Jerry Jones is not letting Ezekiel Elliott get out of the building.
Would
so
you do
that,
it?
So with that being said, we were watching this game last year, I believe at the same time. And Dak rolls out to the left-hand side. He breaks his leg. Immediately, I get on the text message with you and LeVar, and I say, this is the reason why the franchise tag should be eradicated from professional football. It puts the players in a bad position.
Definitely does.
They're on a week-to-week basis as far as salary, and it doesn't give the player – any
security. I mean,
security.
It's a lot of money, but
yeah,
you don't have long-term
the
security.
But mentally, to the players, like, you know what? They don't even know what they want to do with me. They want to bring me back for a franchise tag for 1 year. But, you know, I want long-term security. So how does the player look at the organization after this happens a second time? But for the Cowboys, I don't think they have a choice. If you give them a long-term contract, or he's going to play under this – under the franchise tag for the second time. But they don't have a quarterback to come in and start Andy Dalton to back up. He's making, what, $3 million a year. But as far as Russell Wilson going to the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott going to Seattle, that is not going to happen. Dak Prescott will be a Dallas Cowboy next year, whether it's under franchise tag or they can work out a way to sign him long term. But just like you said, TJ, listen, if I'm Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott, I want to play under the franchise tag because, just like you said, $68 million in 2 years, he's not going to make that anywhere else. So the Cowboys have their back against the wall. Time is running out, but Dak Prescott is not going anywhere.
I don't want to play on the franchise tag, and I find it to be – peculiar that if you're going to pay me the franchise tag, which is $2 million more than what you were offering me in terms of a long-term contract, why can't you just go up to a number that is perceivably a number that we could agree on, 39? But
do you think the Cowboys have offered him $37 million a year?
But you know what it tells the player? We like you.
But we don't love you.
But we don't like you that much.
We don't trust you all the
right.
way. Maybe. And again, here's what I had to do, right? I had to go through my notes and look at all of these guys who have gotten these major contracts. Y'all do know only one has not made a Super Bowl appearance. Only one. And that's Deshaun Watson. Now, if you look at the other ones and you want to say, oh, well, he's no better. He's better than Goff, or he's Carson Wentz. They went to Super Bowls. And then when you start throwing yourself out there and you're saying, oh, well, the market defines itself. The market is the market. So I want a deal that's at least close to being underneath Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. That's not your market. That's elite quarterback market.
But
I don't
also-
put – I do not put – And I mean, I really do hate to say this because I want to see Dak get his money. I'm not one to count anybody's money. I want to see everybody get paid. I'm pro player. But you're not an elite quarterback. You're not an elite NFL quarterback. At least you haven't proven to be one by the standard of what it is. And if you wanted to be able to have negotiating power to get that established market,
where do you say Dak falls in the echelon of quarterbacks? Is he a top 10 quarterback?
Here's the problem. I think Dak is a top 10 quarterback. But when I look at elite quarterbacks or quarterbacks that have gotten really, really good long-term contracts, they have something that they can negotiate and they can bargain off of. We went to the Super Bowl. I took your team to a Super Bowl. Okay. That's negotiation power.
What do you say when you see Kirk Cousins? He hasn't done it. Jimmy G, he hasn't done it. Carson Wentz didn't do it either.
But he's asking for more than that.
At the time that they signed their deals,
this is an unprecedented contract that Patrick Mahomes has got.
Dak understands the Dallas quarterback
market. It's
going
to continue to rot. Like, every quarterback is going to get more than that.
It's an unprecedented. We're going to continue this conversation, but we're throwing out comparisons that are not. I can't allow that to be entered into the court of discussion. Because it is not the relevance of what Kirk Cousins was able to get done with Minnesota after leaving two times being franchise tagged by Washington. You're still talking about an unprecedented amount of money that Patrick Mahomes got in that contract. It's not comparable to any other contract because he pushed the value so high. It's not a legit number.
How many more contracts? I'll say, in my opinion, Deshaun Watson will possibly, if he can stay healthy, will possibly make more money than Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes' contract is so long.
It's not. He will make more money in the short term in terms of what is considered to be guaranteed upfront money. I get that. But what Dak Prescott is attempting to do is get 41, 40 million, 42 million guaranteed a year.
That's not going to happen.
That's a different, you're talking about an entirely different market. That's not the market has gone up. You know, like we're talking, the market continues to go up. Yes, it does continue to go up.
Pat Mahomes is at the ceiling. He's the ceiling.
I don't even know that Pat Mahomes is the ceiling. Pat Mahomes is the stars. Like, you're not going to get there. That is not foreseeable for any quarterback in the National Football League right now, today, other than Patrick Mahomes.
I will say this.
But it's Dallas.
The 2020 draft class of quarterbacks, if Burrow and Herbert end up being studs like
Burrow is the name.
Herbert and Burrow will both surpass Patrick Mahomes in 3 years if they end up being really good quarterbacks on their
That's fair. And just because of the economics continuing to go up.
Exactly.
I don't know if it caps out or whatever, the market, you know, I don't know. I mean, COVID could play a part in this. I don't know, but this is what I do know. Today, why are you persisting on getting a number that you know you're not going to get? And if you're persisting on it, what are you – and this is what I need to know from y'all. Y'all offensive guys, y'all find ways to justify stuff all the time. So I want to hear it from y'all. How do you justify getting a contract that's just under? Okay, you don't want more. You want something that's close. I want something right there at the 40, 41, 42. I want that guaranteed. What says to me that as a Dallas GM, a Dallas purse holder, that I open up the purse strings that loosely and pull that out and get that contract to Dak Prescott?
Because we have seen this before from Dallas. It won't be the first time that the Cowboys would overpay a player. I think Dak Prescott overpaid the quarterback.
Tony Romo. I get that.
Yeah, Dak Prescott understands the Dallas quarterback market. It has nothing to do with everybody else.
How many times did they franchise tag Tony Romo?
Zero.
So right now, immediately, if you're using Tony Romo as an example, Plex, that I've sunk your battleship already. That battleship is at the bottom of the ocean.
But what I'm saying is he understands the Dallas quarterback market. It has nothing to do with everybody else.
But
he understands that he's a franchise quarterback of this organization. They are the number one team as far as whatever revenue and the most popular team in the world as far as football is concerned.
He's not the franchise quarterback of this team at the price tag that he's asking
for the Cowboys this year. But
with a franchise tag.
I've never understood why teams – would franchise a player more than once, multiple times, because it makes no sense. Now you're talking about, you could have gave Dak Prescott a long-term contract a year ago. Now you're talking about him, 2 years ago, now you're talking about him going into the, you know, the second year of this deal, which you could have already guaranteed him money. Now you're paying him $68 million over 2 years in a franchise tag, which could have been guaranteed money already in a long-term deal. So I don't even understand what these teams and organizations are thinking when you're trying to franchise a player more than once. Now you're going to franchise tag him again.
You're thinking, I want you to bring your number down, or I'm a franchise tag you and then get rid of you.
I didn't understand the whole Walter Jones thing when he was playing at Seattle. Granted, he was a great player. He played under three franchise tags in a row, and then after the third franchise tag, they give him a 7-year, $52 million deal.
That's like, one of the greatest. That's arguably the greatest offensive tackle ever to play the game.
Ever to play. He made that $52 million in 3 years, and now you want to give him a long-term 7-year, $52 million deal? It makes no sense for these teams to franchise the player more than once. Listen, if you don't want him, let him go or find somewhere to trade him to. The franchise tag, like I said, I believe if the players and the CBA and everybody got together, the union, it shouldn't even be in football. It's in no other sport other than ours. And it shouldn't be even – it should be eradicated from football totally and permanently.
I think the interesting thing about all of this is he ain't going to get that money. I wonder, will he get it from somebody else? Everybody says he could go somewhere else and get that money.
Man,
I don't buy that.
Dak ain't going nowhere.
Dak ain't getting that money nowhere else.
They better go get Russell Wilson. I'm telling you. They better go get Russell Wilson.
Dak ain't getting that money nowhere else.
TJ, go rub the baby powder off your chest, man.
I'm telling you.
Gosh.
I'm telling you. That's what teams that want to win, they go do. Plex, you up here talking about, oh, let's give Dak this. They don't want Dak. They don't want Dak. They showed Dak that.
Guess
like
what?
They don't want him.
And listen, if they choose the franchise Dak Prescott, he ain't got no choice. That's what I'm talking about with the franchise tag. They don't leave the players the option or the choice to be a free agent. The franchise tag, you know what? We ain't gonna pay you long term, but you ain't going nowhere either.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Hey, hey, up on game, hey, with Love R.A. and T.J. Hood-Rizzotta and Plexico Burress. He catches balls and so does T.J. And I'm going to give you a Sam in the back. And it's Gavin and you and the back. Anyway,
ooh.
Yeah, you won't hear the music that goes along with this freestyle that I just hit you with, but we are coming live.
Implement the music in the actual podcast. Is that possible?
No, you can't because we don't have the rights to the music. But anyways, we're live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Make sure you do that. Hey, listen. It was a good show today. We discussed Big Ben, Russ, what's going on with the whole Les Miles thing. A lot of stuff going on. But before we leave, and make sure you subscribe to our podcast, rate our podcast, Up
Push
on Game. Tell everybody about the podcast. But before we get up out of here, guys, as this show goes so quickly, J.J. Watt said he really believed in Kyler Murray. And his decision to choose Arizona over teams that came down to like Buffalo,
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, he felt as though he should
Kansas City.
Yeah, well, come on. How about it? I mean, he felt like that they're a contender. Just very quickly, are they a contender? Do you believe the hype in what he's saying about Kyler Murray in Arizona?
If Chandler Jones can stay healthy, that division is tough.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are going to be better offensively with Stafford. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy G can come back healthy or the 49ers can trade for a quarterback, they're going to be a really good team. If Russell Wilson stays in Seattle, they're going to be a really good team. Defensively, they have the makings of a very, very good defense.
Yeah.
You got Simmons. If he can come back in his second year,
he's going to be better.
Baker. They have the pieces defensively to cause a lot of teams problems.
Yes, they do.
Because they get a lot of recognition for what they do offensively. If they can put that together and be a complete team, they possibly – Kyler Murray is going to be much better in his third year.
Like Super Bowl contender good?
They have a chance.
Plex?
You know what? Just because J.J. Watt joined the Arizona Cardinals, it does not make them a contender. Even though J.J. Watt was the most double-teamed defense, when he lined up on the edge, he was the most double-teamed player in the league last year. You put him along with Chandler Jones.
Who they going to double?
Hey, they will be special.
Hey, I believe it was a stat. The last 5 or 6 years, nobody has more sacks than those two.
Chandler Jones has 61 sacks in the last 5 seasons.
As y'all
offensively,
can tell.
They need more weapons to put with DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, but they are still the third best team in that division. Don't get it twisted.
As you can tell, we have
and who's
not
one or two?
Time.
Who's
no,
one or two?
Stop! Stop! We gotta go.
Who's one
Seattle,
or one or two?
Seattle one. Rams
oh my God!
Two.
I'm out of here.
The Rams are number one.
This good thing is over.
The Rams are number one.
Get up! Get on your skateboard and ride home.
Stop!
Get out of there! Get on your skateboard.
You're listening to Up on Game with Mark and TJ Answers. I'm Plexico Bird. Bye. We're out of here.